they would have had to have said something along those lines, because they were amazed. They obviously thought this was good. Then they say, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked. So Jesus had left Nazareth earlier. He'd moved to Capernaum, like I said. It's about 30 miles by car. It's, let's be specific, because you probably like that. It's 29.8 miles, to be specific. Well, you know I like to be specific. And it takes 51 minutes in the car to get there. Or, if you're going by foot, it's just under 27 miles. And it takes 8 hours and 49 minutes to walk. And so, at the time of Jesus, they obviously didn't have the tarmac roads and the whole thing. But it was a working day's journey to get from Nazareth to Capernaum. That's how far. It was a day away. And so Jesus has been ministering around Capernaum, which is a day away, but it's still in Galilee. And from Matthew chapter 4 to Matthew chapter 13, Jesus has been ministering extensively. He's been healing the sick. He's been casting out demons. He's been teaching and interacting with Sadducees, Pharisees, the teachers of the law, everyday normal people. He's been calming storms, raising the dead, calling and sending disciples, and everything else that he's done. He's become popular with the common people, and they follow him everywhere. You see that where, and he withdrew from that place, or he went on the boat to get into the water where he was away from where all the people were. Because they were thinking, here, we like this guy. Something different about him. And that creates popularity. And so with your everyday people, they thought he was great. And so they were amazed, it says in the synagogue, at his teaching and his miraculous powers. Until they weighed up who he was. So it says they were amazed at his teaching and his these miraculous powers. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? So there was something evident for them to see that and for them to question, where did he get this? This is amazing. Because that's what it tells us that their reaction was. Then they start to think, wait a minute. This wee Jesus. Remember, he used to live down, do you know, down at the corner there, just near the chippy. That's wee Jesus, the wee guy that lives down there. That's, this is him, he's back. We, you know, his mom and dad, Mary and Joseph, and his sisters and his brothers, you know, the ones that own that carpentry business down the bottom of the road there. And as soon as they started to think that, they started to think, oh, where did the amazement go? Where did the amazement go? And then it says, and they took offense at him. As soon as they did this, they took offence at him. Why? And if you look at some of you, Willie's probably heard me saying this and has no idea why I say it, but sometimes I'll just come out with this wee statement and I'll just say, scandalizzo. Have you ever heard me saying that? And some, I said that when we were in Kenya and you looked at me funny. And the bizarre thing was, I was looking at this today, and the last couple of days, and that's the Greek word here. And I was like, yes! And so I got quite excited about that. But scandal, that's where we get the word scandal from. And the Greek word is scandalizo. And so they took offense at him. They became angry at him because of who he was and because they knew him. It's a wee bit like familiarity breeds contempt. That's wee Jesus' mon dal and the carpenters down the road. Who's he think he is? It very soon changed, didn't it? They were amazed at his teaching and his miraculous powers. All of a sudden, we know him. And they got angry. Because that's what it means, you know, they became angry at him because of who he was and because they knew him. The word scandalizo means to cause someone to experience anger and or shock because of what has been said or done. To cause someone to be offended or to offend. But here's what it is. And this is the bit that I want you to remember. If you don't remember anything else, remember this. It is the opposite to the positive response of faith. That's what it is. It is the opposite to the positive response of faith. Scandalizo. Because they knew who Jesus was, they were offended. It was kind of like, who does he think he is? He's been away in the big smoke. He's coming back. He's just the same as us. And he comes up here thinking he's all special. Have you ever seen that? And we do that regularly. People do that regularly. Because we know him. Who does he think he is? Well, you knew him. You don't know him now, obviously. Because before you recognised who he was, you thought he was amazing and you were like, wow, where did he get these miraculous powers? Then you figure out, oh, that's wee Jesus we did in the street. Your attitude's changed. The problem wasn't with Jesus. They became angry. They were the ones that had the issue. A little yeast, Jesus said this later, a little yeast spreads through the whole batch of dough. And I remember reading this so many times. So many times. And thinking, man, that's not good. That's pretty rubbish. Oh, poor Jesus. That must have felt a bit naff. I want to share you a story. When we were in Kenya, we experienced it firsthand, didn't we? Totally. So we were at the sixth church that we shared in. 6 days in a row, we shared in different churches. So we did Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It was the Monday, and we were in this wee place. I couldn't begin to tell you where it was. It was some exotic location. The roads were even more exotic than that. But we made it when we got there. And so we arrive in this wee place, and it was built on a slope like that. You wouldn't even want to play marbles in it, okay? It was like that. And so it goes in, and it's a corrugated steel shed. But it tiled floors and all that, didn't it? It was just the strangest wee thing. And, like, talk about being made to feel at home. They came up to every one of us, like, would you like a drink? What would you like? And somebody says to me, John, do you want a fizzy drink? And I was just like, aye, Coke. Unknown that then somebody goes and jumps on our motorbike and drives however far it was to that wee village, it seemed like a long distance, then picked them up on the back of their motorbike and brings them back ice cold. Talk about being made to feel at home. So we're in this church, things are great. I speak, and then we're like, right, okay, so what we're going to do now is we're going to see what God wants to do. And there was one guy, it was there, the guy's leg grew about an inch, wasn't it? And so people were, I was like, look, if you believe in this, then you need to come and see it. And they had started praying, and says, if you don't hurry up, you're going to miss it. And the guy's leg grew about an inch, didn't it? Like, I mean, a full inch. You should have seen it. It was amazing. And so the people were like, Oh, in summer, and we're like, oh, do you know, hardly rushing, do you know, which is the Kenyan way of life, do you know, a serious lack of urgency. But eventually, they came and loads of them saw it. And so then more people came in and we started praying and stuff like that. And then I said, and if says, if you want the experience, put your hands up. And I noticed one man just stood like this. And I thought it was him. But Willie and a couple of the other guys noticed that there was somebody else exactly the same. I was like, they're not into this. And I says, if you want to experience this for yourself, if you're finding this a struggle, then just put out your hands like this and receive the Holy Spirit. And if they could have scowled, man, if it was an Olympic sport, this boy could have done it for Kenya. And I thought, okay, God bless you. And this is what I did, because I didn't know what to do. I was just like, who is this guy? And I was kind of thinking in my head, who does he think he is? What is he doing? The bishop's here. He's the bishop. He's the boss. So I just said, hey, Meshach, who's that guy? I don't know. I was kind of like, what? What do you mean you don't know? These are your people, kind of thing. But he didn't know who it was. And I says, would it be rude to go and ask him what his problem is? Meshach said, no. I was like, that's not the answer I was expecting. What did you go and say that for? And I was like, well, can we go and have a word with him? And I'm like, where did that come from? Do you know? And he said, aye. I thought, oh, great. Oh no, what am I going to do now? And so we go over and I'm with the bishop and he says, Pastor, and he just right past and I was like, no, him. And so he calls him over and he comes walking over and I was like, how are you? Can I pray for you? No, boom. And he left, like down to the other end of the church. And I thought, I don't really mind that you blanked me. But you just blanked the bishop. I'm thinking, there's probably going to be some repercussions for you. And never mind that you blanked the bishop, but you've just completely blanked the Lord on this. And so at this point, it just seemed like this serious amount of unbelief or disbelief entered the room. And it just became a bit of a chore ministering to people, didn't it? I mean, it really did become challenging and difficult. And I had never, ever experienced, I'd read it time and time and time and time and time again. I read it in Matthew, I read it in Mark, I read it in Luke, loads of times. But it took on a whole new thing when we were in Kenya and we experienced it personally. But what it says, going back to the passage, and he did not do many miracles there because of the lack of faith. So we always think, well, oh man, that must have been really challenging. And do you know what? It probably was. But we always think then that he never did anything in Nazareth. That's not what it says. And that was kind of like aluminum sighting for me on Friday and Saturday and this morning. Always thinking when Jesus was in Nazareth and the disbelief and he never did anything. It was kind of like, do you know, the big cross on Family Fortunes. And he did not do many miracles, but he did some. He did some. And I was thinking about, no way. Because when we were in that wee church, God still did some before this came to pass. We saw the guy's leg grew an inch. We saw several people's back get healed. Several people's legs grew. And several people got healed at other things. And we thought, oh. And then I looked at that again and I thought, he did not do many miracles there, but he did some. He still did miracles there. I thought, man, this is a game changer. There can be disbelief in the room, and God can still do what he wants to do. But what I think he does want to do is completely eradicate the disbelief. And so, the good news is that while he didn't do many, he still did some. So the first statement that I said to you earlier that I wanted you to remember, I kind of lied because I want you to remember another one. And it's this: disbelief always deprives people of blessing. Disbelief always deprives people of blessing. Jesus was prevented from doing many mighty deeds in Nazareth because of their unbelief. But he did do some. And I think he wants to do some today, this morning. But what I think he wants to do as well is that I know there are people in this room that struggle with this. And there is disbelief. That disbelief, I think, this morning is going to change. And I need to, if you like, pardon, but I need to put my money where my mouth is. I believe in this stuff wholeheartedly. I'm sold out on this. I have seen far too much to explain it away as something else. I know that God changes things. We saw curvature of the spine being healed while we were away. We saw legs growing. We saw backs being healed. We saw chests being healed. We saw deaf ears hearing. What else did we see? We saw demons being cast out. We saw a wee child who was gripped by something being completely set free, because the day we were leaving, Meshach phoned us and said, "Do you know that wee girl who wasn't sleeping? Her name was Susan." And we're like, "Yep, she slept every night since she's prayed for her." We saw that. We saw tons of things. And there will be a whole host of things that we never got to see, and they'll be experiencing them. And do you know what? But I didn't have any disbelief, that's the truth. But if there is disbelief in this room this morning, let's face it head on and see what God does to challenge your disbelief and your unbelief. Because I believe that he is going to do that this morning, and you're not going to be able to leave here with the disbelief that you came in with. You might be thinking, "John, that's a bold statement to make." It's not about me. I'm the postman. I just deliver the mail. And so here's the thing. If you're struggling with disbelief or unbelief, I believe that God is really seriously, like through the roof, going to boost your faith this morning with what you're going to see before you leave here. If you are gripped with disbelief, there's no shame in admitting that, because it will change. But if you don't believe it, then what we're going to do is we're going to pray for some people at the front. And I hope that if you are somebody who is sick, or you're in pain, or you need God to do something, that you will come to the front. And then the people who are struggling with the whole issue, I want you to come to the front and watch. And watch as God heals them. And when God does heal them, then what will that do to your disbelief or your lack of faith? Because I don't believe that you can stand on your unbelief, disbelief, lack of faith when you see that God has done something. Do we agree with that? So, when it says that scandalizo is the opposite to the response of faith, the scandal is this: that the healing power of Jesus will consume you, and you will have the faith and the belief, and you will be transformed to a place where you have never been before, and you don't ever have to go back to where you are now. So I messaged a couple of people this morning, and on it at the end I wrote, "I'm excited." This is what I'm excited about. And this is what I was excited about this morning. And I was sitting and I was praying. And I don't just make this stuff up. I'm sure you probably realised that. And so I'm sitting doing some final preparations this morning, and I just felt the Lord saying, put your money where your mouth is. And I'm like, so I need to say this. It's not as if I have a reputation to lose anyway. I don't care about that. It's not about John Shades or Charlene Shades. It's not about the vineyard. It's about God. It's about the Holy Spirit. And it's about Him setting people free from pain and hardship and difficulty and sickness and illness and disease. And so I believe we're going to see that this morning. And you might be sitting thinking, oh, mate, you were doing so well. That's all right. You can think that. But when God does something and then you see it, I'm going to say, ha, well, the shoe's on the other foot.